Welcome back to our Psalms of History series, Psalms that connect back to a season of David's life. We've been currently working our way through 2 Samuel chapter 7, which is a really astounding chapter. It begins with David there in Jerusalem, having built himself a house, building out the city, moved to bless God in a profound way. He's brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city. And he gets this notion, again, looking around his own palace, that there's something off with the reality that he's in a physical home, but here's God dwelling in a tent. Ironically, while the Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem, and Gibeon was the rest of the tabernacle. So like God's house is even in two different locations. And David's like, this is wrong. I want to build God a permanent dwelling place, a temple. Again, an amazing idea, because this was not articulated in the law of God. There was no provisions for, hey, when you get into the land and you get settled, I want to go from this tent to a physical dwelling place. This is purely coming from David's heart, this expression, a desire to bless God. And in response to that, there's Nathan the prophet, his involvement. The Lord comes to Nathan, speaks through him to David, and it's really kind of one of those, hey, thank you for that, but that's really not the nature of our relationship. You're not going to build me a physical dwelling place. You're not going to build a temple. We'll leave that for your son. But I'm going to bless you in a profound way. God just so overwhelmed with the reality that David wanted to express himself to God in this way, though he wasn't going to be allowed to. God's still responding to that back to David, saying, I'm going to do something even better. And then there's this wonderful prophecy that gets articulated, where it's a prophecy with a measure of dual fulfillment, where God is articulating to David that when he dies, that God would be with his son, would bless his son, would be a father to his son, but that there would be an everlasting presence of David's lineage on the throne, that God would extend his reign to everlasting. So yes, there's this immediate fulfillment in Solomon, but there's a future fulfillment within the coming of Jesus. The only way that David's throne, that an heir of David could be on the throne, would be for it to be Jesus. And so there's this kind of dual fulfillment, this prophecy, really the establishment of what we would call the Davidic covenant. The second half of chapter 7 is really David sitting there before the Lord, just kind of understanding what was just articulated, just overwhelmed. And I think there's a lot of different psalms that flow from David's heart during this particular season. We're going to look at two of them. We're going to look at Psalm 16 and Psalms 106. Psalms 106 is pretty lengthy. And so we're just going to kind of work our way through the 16th psalm, work our way through the 106th psalm. Again, our intention is not to provide a verse-by-verse study, but more of just kind of identifying these psalms, a very likely coming from David, an expression during the season, the Davidic promise. Very powerful. So let's just start Psalm 16. It's titled, The Hope of the Faithful and the Messiah's Victory. So his mind there on this future promise, the coming king. Preserve me, O God, he begins, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my God. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Verse 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied, who hasten after other God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. And you could see that David, his ultimate inheritance is that he would be part of the lineage, the family line of the promised Messiah. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Again, that counsel provided through Nathan the prophet. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, or as a result of that reality, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. And that definitely has a fulfillment in Jesus, this prophetic utterance of David. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love that. In your presence is fullness of joy. That our joy doesn't come from an emotional state. It doesn't come from situations or circumstances or our environment. No, our joy, again, joy being a state of being, not so much an emotion. You can have joy and pain and sorrow. Joy is this overriding thing. But where is our joy based out of? How do we have joy in the midst of these things, even in hardship? Well, again, it's your presence that I find the fullness of joy. And that's the same for you and I, that it's our relationship with Jesus, a relationship that abides, that he is our rock, even in stormy weather, that he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that he's with us always. And it's in that relationship that we find joy. If you lack joy, that's often an indication that maybe there's something wrong with your relationship, that some distance has grown with your relationship with Jesus. And so if you're in that moment of sorrow or depression or anxiety or despair, like, hey, focus on Jesus, because it's in him that we find that fullness of joy. The shorter of the two psalms related to this time period, we go to Psalms 106. Again, very lengthy, so we're going to kind of work our way through this quickly. Psalms 106 is titled Joy and Forgiveness of Israel's Sins. So it's a bit of a confessional psalm. A lot of people attribute this to being anonymous. And yet I think that you can see very likely how this could be the expression of David during this time period. Not all the psalms are attributed to David, although we have some that were likely written by David. We just don't have his name attributed specifically to the psalmist of Israel. But it begins, again, it's very similar. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all his praise? Blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me with your salvation, that I may see the benefit of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Again, David is being included into the messianic promise, the covenant of the coming Messiah. And so he begins to reflect back on Israel's history and how even in their shortcomings and in their failings, God and that covenant remain sure. Nevertheless, or in spite of the fact that they had rebelled by the sea, God saved them for his name's sake. They had rebelled. They were complaining. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And God delivered them. And he did so that he might make his mighty power known. No doubt, the parting of the Red Sea, the deliverance of the children of Israel through the 10 plagues, breaking the back, the will of Pharaoh, to his provision, miraculous provision there in the wilderness of the manna and the quail, God giving them food. He rebuked the Red Sea also, it dried up, and he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Again, scripture confirming scripture to be seen as literal. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies, no doubt. The Egyptians followed after the Israelites into the Red Sea, and after the Israelites had passed on dry land, God allowed the waters to consume the armies of Pharaoh. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words, speaking of Israel, and they sang his praises. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Again, they get to the land of promise. They go to enter. They send spies to check out the land. The report comes back that there are giants and powerful people dwelling in Canaan, and they get scared. And in their unbelief, they end up wandering the wilderness for some 40 years. Verse 16, when they envied Moses in the camp and Aaron, the saint of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed Dathan, the sons of Korah, and covered the fraction of Abiram. A fire was kindled in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. Verse 19, they made a calf in Horeb. They worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, his wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said to them that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word. They complained in their tents. They did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore he raised up his hand and an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the land. They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out amongst them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore. Again, Dick David working through the history of the people, remembering again, in the midst of their unfaithfulness, God and his covenant remained sure. They angered him also, the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples. Again, transitioning now to the later half of Joshua and to Judges, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. But they mingled with the Gentiles and leaned and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjugation under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Again, the cycle of that period of Judges. But nevertheless, again, verse 44, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry, and for their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the multitude of his mercies. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. I like, let all the people say amen. Very similar to the song, the way that David closed the song there in 1 Chronicles 16 that he wrote upon the ark coming to Jerusalem. Again, David's heart overwhelmed that God's covenant remains sure even in the presence of our unfaithfulness and wickedness. When God's patience had every right to expire, his grace remains sufficient. If you like these Psalms, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. Not only can you check out other of these Psalm studies, but you can watch the Bible studies that they relate to. God bless.